Good morning. We're doing the laws of Shabbos. We're up to the laws of Muktzeh. We had described that there are a few types of Muktzeh. We had described the basis of the rabbinic institution of Muktzeh, that Chazal didn't want us to walk around with our cell phones. We might end up answering them. Walk around with our pen, we might end up writing with it. Walk around with matches, you might end up striking them. Walk around with your shovel, you might end up digging on Shabbos. Walking around with your plow, you might end up plowing on Shabbos. So Chazal told us that things that we cannot use on Shabbos are muktzeh. And Chazal gave us a few types of muktzeh. So one of the weightier types of muktzeh is called muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. We will elaborate on it. But in a nutshell, it's something that's very expensive that you don't use it for anything other than its intended purpose. For example, if you have a shechita knife, so that's a knife that costs close to 1,000 shekel. You have to sharpen it and keep it. It's like $250 for a shechita knife, a basic one, not a great one.
For just a
basic one.
Like for a chicken,
not a cow.
How much is that?
700 shekel for the cheapest one, the most basic one.
You have like the Chinese chefs, they pay like thousands of dollars.
Right, so I'm saying, so there are things which are muktzeh mechamat chesron kis, that becomes muktzeh because you wouldn't use it for anything else. And what you use it for, obviously, is muktzeh. I'm saying if it's a chef's knife and you use it to cut your vegetables on Shabbos, okay. We're talking about something that's not usable on Shabbos, and that's in the range of muktzeh, that's one of the heaviest types of muktzeh. We discussed muktzeh mechamat gufo, something that is not edible, it's not a vessel, so you're not going to do anything with it on Shabbos, like a rock. And then you have kli shem nachtol isur, a vessel that's used for an isur, that what you use it for is not usable on Shabbos, like a hammer. You're not allowed to bang in nails on Shabbos, right? So a hammer is kli shem nachtol isu. And then what we're up to now is another topic called basis ledavar ha'asu. When I have something that's a basis for something that's prohibited, the thing itself, it's not muktzeh, but there's muktzeh sitting on it. So that thing that's a basis, that's a basis, ledavar ha'asu, is also muktzeh. So an example of that would be if you have candles lit, and the candles are on candlesticks. So now the candlesticks are a basis ledavar ha'asur. Candlesticks, technically, you'd say they're also muktzeh because they're kli shem nachtol isur. You use candlesticks to light candles. Candlesticks.
Well, usually they're expensive.
If you have a tablecloth and the candles are sitting on the tablecloth, so now the tablecloth becomes a basis ledavar ha'asur. If you have a table, sometimes you can have your wallet sitting in the drawer. So opening that drawer, we will see that if that drawer has other things in it, then it might be a basis ledavar ha'asur umutar. It has both prohibited and permissible things on it. But let's say the only thing in that drawer is your wallet, so it becomes a basis ledavar ha'asur. There are many details here. And this is where we will also discuss the idea of you find money in your pocket on Shabbos. Are you allowed to wear those pants? What are you supposed to do with the money? So we'll discuss the details of what becomes a basis ledavar ha'asur. Sometimes you'll say, well, because I had 10 agurot in my pocket, I need those pants. The pants are much more important than the 10 agurot. So the pant becomes the basis for the 10 agurot. We'll discuss the different aspects which are actually discussed in the Gemara and in the Halacha. We'll get to them each as we go along. This is all intro still. So if you're about to ask details, let's hold off. We're going to go into each one of these on their own. We did discuss nolad, something that didn't exist before. Now a chicken lays an egg, so that's nolad, the egg that's born, so that's also muktzeh. So let's get started, because there are other muktzeh which I don't want to touch on without going into the details of each one, so let's begin. We know that touching muktzeh isn't the problem, moving muktzeh is the problem. So a car is muktzeh. If you sit on the car moves, right? The cars have springs, and when you sit on them, they move, so you can't do that. You're not supposed to touch muktzeh, which will move. You're not supposed to lift muktzeh. We're not supposed to move muktzeh. Muktzeh is asur betiltul. Muktzah is prohibited from moving. It's not prohibited from touching. It's prohibited from moving. I'm not allowed to move something that is muktzah. We have a rule with regards to muktzah that's called kevan de'itkatzai lebein hashmashot. When something became muktzah at bein hashmashot, at twilight, Shabbos begins in a specific moment after sundown, right? The sun sets, and now Shabbos begins. A second later, 2 seconds later, a minute later, 2 minutes later, we have a range of about 13 minutes there where we're not sure what split second Shabbos began in. Could be it began the second after sunset. So from our perspective, we stop doing tasks of Shabbos 9-10 minutes before sunset. Ideally 18 minutes beforehand, we light our Shabbos candles, but up to about 10 minutes before sundown, we stop. Our calendars aren't so accurate. We don't really know when sundown is. If you see the ball of the sun, you know the sun didn't set yet. So, okay, you could still do tasks. But we stopped doing work a little before sundown. At what split second did Shabbos come in? We're not sure. Whether it's the first second after sundown, 2 seconds after sundown. We have this period called Bein Hashmashot, what we might translate as twilight, from when the ball of the sun sets to 13 minutes later. At some second there, Shabbos came in. Being that I don't know, that whole range of time, those 13 minutes after the sun sets, are called Bein Hashmashot. Twilight. From my end, that's when Shabbos settles in. I don't know at which second, so I treat that whole time as the time when Shabbos began. Shabbos began when the sun set. From the second the sun set until 13 minutes later, I'm at a time of twilight where it's Shabbos from my end. If something was muktzah on Bein Hashmashot, right after the sunset, so then itkatzai lekul yoma, it's muktzah for the whole day of Shabbat. So I always say, was it muktzah when Shabbos began at twilight, right after sunset? So then it's muktzah for all of Shabbos. We will see that sometimes something can become muktzeh on Shabbos. For example, you have a ceramic cup. So, when Shabbos came in, you had a ceramic cup. That's not muktzeh. Then the ceramic cup falls on the floor and breaks. Now it's no longer usable. Now you have shards on the floor. So, technically, it just became muktzeh. We say you can clean it up because you don't want people to hurt themselves. But it's muktzah. It's not muktzah. It's not different than the muktzah of a thorn bush that's on in your backyard. That thorn bush has no use. And you intend at some point to clean it up and throw it in the garbage. Well, then it's muktzah. A thorn brush. You have not the bush that's growing on the ground. I meant if you have a branch of thorns in your backyard, which you keep telling yourself, one of these days I've got to throw it out. So that's muktzah. If it would roll into public domain, if it would roll into a place where people could hurt themselves, so then even though it's muktzah, you're allowed to move it. But the same happens with the cup. So we see that there's muktzah that begins from twilight. Migo deitkatzai lebein hashmashot, being that it became muktzah at twilight, it's muktzah the whole day. And then we also have muktzah that begins on Shabbos. You can have something that becomes muktzah on Shabbos. The classical example, again, is something that breaks on Shabbos, that before it broke, was a vessel, wasn't muktzah. Then it breaks, it becomes muktzah. We will see that there are times where something can become muktzah, and then it can go back to being not muktzah. Meaning, if it was muktzah twilight, then it's muktzah for the whole Shabbos, it's a goner. But if it became muktzah during Shabbos, then it could also become unmuktzah. It can become mutar again on Shabbos. If its status changes, that we will still explore. Let's take an example. If you have something that's not edible when Shabbos comes in, let's go back to our classical case of muktzah. You put figs on the roof. The figs were edible. They started drying out, and when Friday afternoon came, they were completely not edible. So you take a look at those figs, you ask yourself, should I take down some figs for Shabbos? You look at them, and you see that they're not edible, they're not good. So you leave them on the rooftop. You'll say they'll dry another few days. On Wednesday, I'll eat them. They're not edible. Fine. You leave the rooftop. Shabbos comes in. From your end, they're mukta. Shabbos morning, there's a broiling hot sun. And at 11 o'clock in the morning, your son climbs up to the roof and he comes down and he says, Dad, the figs are ready to eat. They look luscious. They're great. So you say, well, wait a second. I checked them just before Shabbos. They weren't edible. He says, fine, but now they are. The halacha says, being that they were muktzeh when Shabbos entered, they were not yet edible. Even though they became edible now, they're still muktzeh. So if we have something that's not edible when Shabbos comes in, even if it becomes edible on Shabbos, it is still muktzeh. I'm not allowed to move it. That's the idea. Migo deit katzai leminash mashot. Being that it became muktzeh at twilight, it's muktzeh for all of Shabbos.
This is a general rule. Are there any exceptions for this rule?
What would you like? What type of exception? Okay.
Can I ask you the question of an example? When you do have, let's say, you have a towel that's dry and it's not mukta, and then something spills and you clean it up, but I don't know if it's mukta, but there's a problem of sochet.
It's not mukta.
It's not mukta?
No.
Rav Tony asked me to tell you that. To learn from this verse, Moshe.
Okay. We are learning the merit to Moshe Ben Faivish Ori Shraga David Zichrono Livracha. Shokach. You can have something which was edible when Shabbos began, and then it becomes not edible. And then if it were to return to its edible state, being that when Shabbos began it wasn't mukta, if it returns to its edible state, it will again be not mukta. When do we say migo deitketzai leben hashmashot? If throughout all of twilight it was mukta. If in the middle it wasn't, if it was only mukta for part of twilight, so then it's not mukta.
The whole essence of twilight is that we don't know what twilight is.
Right, but if during those 13 minutes there were minutes where it was mukta, minutes where it was not mukta, so then we don't consider it as a goner for all of Shabbos. You'll see on Shabbos whether it's usable or not. Let's take an example for that. There are interesting examples in our present day. My children have toys which they use even when the batteries are dead. They have a car that when it has good batteries, you turn it on, so the lights go on, the lights go off, but they use the car all the time, even when the batteries are dead. And even when the batteries are good batteries inside, they will use the toy without turning it on. So that's a kli, that's a vessel, that's just like the phone we spoke about last week, where if you use your phone as your watch, if your phone has multiple usages that are also mutter on Shabbos, then that's a kli shem nachtol le'isur uleheter. That's a vessel that's used for prohibited things and permissible things. So then I'm allowed to touch it on Shabbos. It's not mukta because it's usable for permissible things. It might be a smart thing not to use your phone on Shabbos because you might easily push the wrong button, then you shouldn't use it. But let's take an example that we all have. We wear watches on Shabbos. Some people have calculators on their watches. Some people have lights in their watches. Well, if I use my watch all day, that I just look at it and I see the time, so that's not mukta. Ah, but I could push buttons and do things that are prohibited with the watch. That's true, but it's still not mukta. It might not be smart if I have an alarm on the watch and I know I might come to turn it off on Shabbos. It might not be smart to carry it with me, but technically I can't say it's mukta. That's a vessel that's used for permissible things. I look at it to see the time. Just 1 second. So let's take the following scenario. We have this car that when you move it, it makes noises. It turns on lights and turns them off. But that's when the switch is turned on. So your wife lights Shabbos candles and the sun sets and the car is off. So it's not in a mukta state. All the kids can use it because nothing will happen if they use it. Comes their little brother, turns on the switch. Boom, he's playing with the car. Now every time you move the car, the lights turn on. It makes more noises. Every movement turns it on again. Once he turned the switch on, now it just became muktzah. So all his siblings yell at him, it's Shabbos. So, oh, it's Shabbos. He turns it off. Good boy, right? Now it's not muktzah. So wait a second. During that twilight period, it wasn't muktzah. Then it was muktzah. Then it wasn't muktzah again, right? So we said, if during twilight, it wasn't completely muktzah, it wasn't on all of twilight, right? If I had those 13 minutes, part of the time it was usable, part of the time it was not usable, so it's not muktzah for the whole Shabbos. So then whenever their little brother doesn't turn it on Shabbos, they could use it. When he does turn it on, they can't use it, because now every movement will make noise, will make it turn on. So that's this idea that during twilight, if I have things that are part of the twilight, they're prohibited, part of the twilight, they're not, well then they're not prohibited all of Shabbos. In order for us to say, it has to be that the full 13 minutes it was muktzah. Then I say, okay, then throughout Shabbos it's muktzah. Yes, sir.
Is that in its capacity to be muktzah? For instance, if you find the car with the lights on, and then a baby turns it off, and it's no longer muktzah, that because you don't know whether it's been on for 13 minutes or 3 hours.
So that's suffix muktzah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. You're saying, what if I don't know where it was? And banish mashot.
The reason I'm asking here is that it may very well have been on, only in that twilight period.
Then it's muktzah. If it was on for those 13 minutes, even if later it will turn off, that's the idea that once it was muktzah for Bein HaShmashot, for twilight, it's muktzah all of Shabbos.
What I'm saying is that you don't know whether it was muktzah for less than 13 minutes.
So that we'll still discuss. We'll get to the sfeikot, the doubts we have in muktzah. What happens when I'm not sure? I think Ari was first. Yeah.
If you're carrying a watch that happens to, if the alarm happens to go off in at some point during Shabbat, either in Shul or Shabbos or whatever, and you remove it so that the beeping doesn't annoy the people around or take away from the atmosphere of Shabbat, are you then able to re-put the watch on when it stops beeping? Or if it continues beeping, say you're in Shul, you put it off in the bathroom or inside somewhere, are you able to take it while it's still beeping?
Yeah. It's not muktzah just because it's beeping. It's an annoyance. It's not muktzah.
No, but even though something that's mechalel Shabbat is being activated.
It's not. You're allowed to leave an alarm clock on from before Shabbos. Yes?
Is this rule a subjective rule? Meaning, let's say, for example, you have two people. Let's say you have just to keep things simple, let's say you have an item, which is two people, right? Just keeping it simple, right? And one guy considers a
muksa,
one guy doesn't consider a
muksa. What does that mean, considers a
muksa?
I don't know what that means.
Let's say, for example, you have a broken cup, right? One guy considers a muksa, because he can't use it, right? The other guy says this is a great knife.
We'll discuss that. We'll discuss what makes something not muksa, meaning we started discussing a week or two ago what happens if I want to make designated stones. How do I do that? How do I make something not muktzah? Meaning I need these rocks to hold down the napkins and my kiddush. I'm going to make kiddush outdoors. I don't want. So we said we're going to discuss what do we have to do to designate something. It's not a vessel. I want to make it into a vessel. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to say these rocks from now are my designated rocks. I want a door stopper. I want that rock to hold my door. Right. So we'll get there too. I designated this rock for my door stopper. For you, it's just a rock.
So that's the answer.
We'll get there. I didn't say that's the halacha. I said, we'll get there. Right. We're going to discuss. No, there are different things. There's a difference between if I paint the rock or I just leave the... Let's wait. We'll get there. This is all discussed. We'll build one thing on another. Okay. Can we focus on more? Can I move on? Or we've hit capacity for today? Can we move on to more details? Yeah. Not too much. Okay, so we'll move forward a little bit. Okay, so we'll begin with a very severe form of muktzeh called muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. One of the ways that you identify muktzeh mechamat chesron kis is that you have a special place for it. Now this changes a little bit from house to house. I'll give you an example. In our house, if you don't want your cell phone in the bath, if you don't want your cell phone being experimented on with wet and dirty hands, you better put it above shoulder height or more because there are little children who will take your cell phone and do things with it. And you can't be annoyed at them. So you need a designated place. You need a designated place. And in a home where there are no babies, there are no 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds. So in homes like that, a designated place could be on a dresser, but it's a designated place. Meaning, what defines a designated place depends a little bit on how many little hands you have running around your house. But nonetheless, if you want to know if something's special, you know it has a designated place. An example of that might be a very expensive cell phone. You don't just leave it lying around where it can fall and get ruined. You have a dock for it, you have a place you put it down, you have a special wallet for it, you get a special case to hold that phone. So we have things that we specifically put in their designated place because they are precious. When your wife has jewelry, she has a jewelry box for it. She doesn't leave it lying around. So jewelry is usable on Shabbos, but there are things that are very precious and you put them down. And what you use them for is not permissible on Shabbos. So jewelry, we assume you could wear on Shabbos. It's a good question whether you can or cannot, but we assume you can. So jewelry is not muktzah. But your cell phone, most of the times, is something which you cannot, you don't have a usage that's mutar on Shabbos. So it's not just muktzah, but it's almost always, and in today's cell phones, going to be muktzah mechamat chesron kis. That we treat it as a very hefty muktzah. It's something which I won't use for something else. Meaning, if you, let's say you're learning, and you find your stenders wobbling. So most people wouldn't put their cell phone as a support under the stender. You're very careful. You don't want your cell phone to have other usages. You're not going to use it for other things. There are items that we own that we're not so careful about. You don't mind putting a spoon under the stender to give it to catch the space. You don't mind putting your pen under the stender. You might even put your watch under the stender to support it. But you wouldn't put your cell phone there. So when you have an item that you don't want it to be used for other things, you're scared it'll get ruined. You have a shechita knife. You don't want to use that knife to cut your bread. You want it to stay really sharp for your shechita. So we have things that are called muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. This item is used for muktzeh. It's used for something that's prohibited on Shabbos. And because of its value, I'm careful not to move it and not to use it for anything other than its intended usage. And in every profession, you have items that are like that. Meaning, the baker has, I showed you guys the rolling pins that the professionals have. Each one has his rolling pin. He won't use it. You know, the violinist has his violin. An expert violinist can pay tens of thousands of shekels for his violin. So then his violin is not only muktzah because it's used to make music, which we can't do on Shabbos. It's muktzah mechamat chesron kis. Because that's so precious, he wouldn't use it for anything else. He's so careful. It has its case. It has its corner. Violinists sometimes don't leave their violin in the car. When they leave the car, it goes with them. You know, they're not going to leave it lying around. So that's called muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. That the item is muktzeh not only because its task is prohibited on Shabbos, but also because it's so precious that you put it down, and in your mind, when you put it down before Shabbos, you don't intend for it to move anywhere because you have no use for it on Shabbos, and you don't want it used for anything else. When you have a hammer, so you know that if you need to crack nuts and you can't find the nutcracker, you might use the hammer. You know that if you can't get the cork out of the bottle, you'll put in a screw, you'll grab it with a hammer, and you'll pull it out on Shabbos. You don't care. You're willing to use the hammer for a lot of things. If right now you need a support for your car, you know, your car's on the jack, you need to lift it or drop more, you'll put the hammer under the jack, you lift it, you don't care. You'll use your hammer for a lot of things. If suddenly you need to dig in the ground a little bit, you'll use the sharp part of the hammer, you'll dig in the ground. You don't care. So your hammer is a kli shem nachtoli isur. It's a vessel that's used for prohibited things. But if you'll need it for other things on Shabbos, you might take it. If you need it to crack open your nuts, you can't find your nutcracker, you'll use the hammer. So a hammer is not muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. It's only a simple muktzeh called klishem nachtol yisur. The vessel is used for prohibited things. But when you have your violin, you're not going to use it for anything other than playing music. And when you put it down before Shabbos, your intention is, I'm not touching that until after Shabbos. I want that to sit in its corner. I don't want it to be touched till after Shabbos. So that's a much heftier muktzah. That's a muktzah that we will have almost zero leniencies regarding this muktzah. Whereas other forms of muktzah, we will sometimes move, because I need to sit here. And right now, my child's toy, that's muktzah, is here. I can move it. But muktzah mechamat chesron kis, even if it's litzorech gufo or mikomo, I'm not allowed to move it. That means if I need the place, let's say you sat down and you ate peanuts. So you cracked open the peanuts and you left the shells on the table. You finish the meal, you have a table covered with shells. That's muktzah. You have no use for them. Okay, it's muktzah, but now I want to eat at this table and the shells are bothering me. So I'm allowed to collect all the shells, put them in the garbage, and eat. But it's muktzah. How are you allowed to move it? Litzorech mikomo. I need its place. You come to go to sleep at night, and you notice that your kids left their markers on your bed. You forgot your pen on the bed. Okay. The pen is klishem nachtol yisur. A klishem nachtol yisur. It's a vessel that's used for prohibited things on Shabbos. Litzorech mikomo. If I need that place, I can move it. So I'm allowed to pick up the pen, put it in the corner, and go to sleep, because I need that place. If the muktzah is klishem nachtol yisur, it's a vessel that's used for prohibited things, and that's the only reason it's muktzah, so then litzorech mikomo, for its place, I'm allowed to move it. Litzorech gufo, if I need to scratch my head, and I can't find anything to scratch my head with, but I have a pen right here. Oh, I can take the pen and scratch my head on Shabbos. Klishem nachtol yisur, it's a vessel that's used for prohibited things. Litzorech gufo, for the usage of its shape, its body, that's not prohibited on Shabbos, I'm allowed to. So I'm allowed to take a hammer to crack nuts on Shabbos. But the hammer's muktzah. Right, but now I need the hammer to do something permissible on Shabbos. Klishem nachtol yisur, a vessel whose task is prohibited on Shabbos, I'm allowed to move it litzorech gufo, because I need its body, I need to use it for something that's permissible on Shabbos, or litzorech mikomo, because I need its place. It's in a place that I want to sit down, I want to eat, I want to put down my plate, whatever I want to do in that place, it's bothering me. If it's only klishem nachtol yisur, I'm allowed to move it. Either litzorech gufo or litzorech mikomo. Either because I need its body, I need to use it, or I need its space. However, if it's muktzeh mechamat chesron kis, if it is muktzeh because it is very valuable, and when I put it down before Shabbos, I don't plan on using it for anything. So what's the stick of the violin called?
The bow.
The bow? You're not allowed to take the bow to scratch your back. But my back really itches. Don't take the bow, because that bow, you know that you ordinarily don't use it for anything. You can't say, it's a tzorech gufo, I need it now. No, but when you put it down before Shabbos, your intention was very clearly, I'm not touching that bow. I'm leaving it in its place. It's muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. It's okay. I'll go on to Benny meanwhile.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
With regards to the thing with the phone, where that's Kishron Kis, a violin bow is a little different, but I'm saying a phone, I'm saying you carry it around most places you go, so saying when you put it down on the bed, it could just be that you forgot it, that you put it on the bed. It's not like you put the violin
right
in its spot.
But generally,
generally
it's something which you don't want.
I'm saying I forgot my phone like a million times where I put it.
That's true, but it's still most of the time it's muktzeh mechamat chesron kis.
And why is that so much more? Why are we so much machmir? Like, what does the halacha care? How much you care about the?
Because our assumption is that something that's muktzeh mechamat chesron kis, I'm much more serious about where I put it. You didn't think about it before Shabbos. You weren't serious enough about it before Shabbos. But technically, if you would have thought about it, you would have put it in a safe place, and you would have wanted it there till after Shabbos. The fact that you forgot to deal with it and you left it on your bed is a problem. But it's still something which you generally, seriously put somewhere.
Is it also a basis ledavar asur? But you can't sleep on the bed now?
Slowly, we'll get there. It's not a ba. The phone doesn't become the basis. The bed can become.
Right, the bed's the basis.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there slowly, one step at a time. Yes?
So you're talking about when you can scratch your back with a pen. That's not like you set the pen aside in its place. But if the pen just happens to be on the table, you can use it to scratch your back.
Look, generally it's not common that you need the pen. You have a fork, you have a spoon, you have other things you could scratch your back with. Meaning there's no reason you should grab a pen to scratch your back with on Shabbos, right? I gave an example that's really not a good example because you generally have other things you could scratch with that are not muktzah. So there's no excuse to grab a pen to scratch your head. Take the spoon on the table and scratch your head. Take the back of the spoon.
If there's something where for the most part it's used for something muktzah, like a pen, if you choose to grab it, should you grab it like a shinui?
No. That's one of the halachas we'll see, that when you have a pen on your bed, you're allowed to pick it up and carry it to the place you want to put it away. You don't even have to drop it the second it's in a comfortable place. You can take it normally to the place where you want to put it. We'll get there. We will get there. Stick around. This was just mentioned in passing about what's prohibited about muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. We haven't yet discussed klishim nachto leisur and moving it letzorach gufon mekomo. I just brought it to show the severity of muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. The details of moving something at Tzorch Gufon Mekomo, we will still deal with Bezat Hashem. Gabriel, yes? Okay. Okay, some examples for this is if you bought, if you have a store and you bought merchandise which you don't use. It's meant to be sold in the store. You don't want anyone to use. You want it to stay brand new. So that suddenly gets the status of not only being muktzah, but muktzah mechamat chesron kis. You don't own those items to be used. You own them to sell them. Sometimes you have a precious letter. Someone important sent you a letter. So that could be muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. You leave it in a frame on the wall. You don't want anyone touching it. You don't want anyone moving it. That could be muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. Sometimes you have special paper, which you don't use for other things. You use it to write out diplomas and stuff like that. So that's going to be muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. If it's paper, which you tell your kids, you can make paper airplanes out of it, you could do whatever you want with it, you could draw on it, whatever. So that's not important paper. That might be melachtoli sur. That's something which I use for prohibited things, a blank sheet of paper I use for writing. But sometimes you have special paper. For example, if you have a receipt book, so that receipt book you don't use for other things. You use it specifically to write receipts. If you have a ledger where you keep a record of your expenses, you don't take that ledger to write in it or to draw in it or to doodle in it. You have a very specific use for it. You usually put that ledger away. It's where you have a record of your expenses, what you bought. So again, these will have the heading of Muktzeh Mechamat Chesron Kis. This is something not only because of its value, it could be the ledger only cost you 20 shekel, but it has a very specific usage and you're careful not to use it for something else. So muktzeh mechamat chesron kis is when I have something that its usage is muktzeh, and I'm very careful not to use it for anything other than that usage, which is muktzeh. Sometimes you have a very expensive vessel, which you use, let's say, what would be an example of that? So we gave the shechita knife. I don't know in one's day-to-day life where else that comes up. Okay.
That's